So I wanted to focus on Made for More. That's the name of the song we just sang. And it sort of composes or comprises a lot of what I would try to say if I could be heard. Every 7 days of your life, you get to go and sit and hear a person who gets up every 7 days of his or her life and try to tell you something from God. Hear, have you hear it? So hear as if you were really hearing today in the Spirit on this Pentecost what the Lord might say. Let's go back to John 14 for the verses from 12 to 17. Jesus is speaking. Truly, truly, which mean I mean this. Okay. I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Let's pray. Father, pour out your Spirit on all flesh in this time. We pray that you will give us a supernatural insight on account of our birthright, not out of any sense of worth or not worth, but on a sense of our birthright. As we have been covered in the blood of Jesus, we have this privilege. We ask you to help us hear in the Spirit and hear with the ears of the flesh, that we might understand and add your wisdom to our life today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Pentecost is the birthday of the church. It's the day when, after Jesus had ascended into heaven, they were gathered in an upper room, and the Spirit of God just fell out. And while it was quite a commotion and quite a stir, and it was among a lot of people were going, this is silly. These people are drunk. This is the strangest thing. And so Peter gets up and he says, whoa, men and women of Israel, you people of God, don't you remember what the prophet Joel said? That in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh? Now, all flesh is conditional there. That's God's people's flesh. Okay? And then all of these manifestations of the kingdom of God will occur. Now, you might say, well, that's for the end time. Exactly. Peter said, and by virtue of the fact that it was happening then, he was signaling, this is the last days. Now for us, last days means, give me 72 hours and a countdown and it's over. But this was on Pentecost in that, year zero kind of situation. In other words, we are in the end time, the last time, the end days. And God's Spirit is poured out over the whole earth, where whoever a person is in Christ that will receive it in his name will house personally the Holy Spirit and be an agent of God on the world. But you know how we do, what human institutions are like. You know what we do when we come and we get together and we be a church, right? Except a Christian, a Christ one, a Christ bearer, is meant to be more. You are made for more. God has an intention and a purpose in your life just as surely as he has an intent and a purpose for the life of Macy Lee. He has a purpose that is written in to the future if you will live into the best God offers. If you will just but surrender yourself, you can begin to understand that you have more in your salvation than a ticket to heaven. And this is not liberal or conservative. This is beyond politics. This is beyond your flavoring of the day, your Kool-Aid you've been drinking, or the conspiracies you've been flouting. This is about the Spirit of God in you producing the character of Jesus Christ. Nothing less than His character through the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of who? You can't go out and gin this stuff up. You have to have the Spirit's presence to have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit means when the Spirit is present, He brings fruit to your life. But only in yielding do you receive the harvest. Do you know what it is to have more patience or kindness or self-control, gentleness, love? The problem is not on God's end with all of the receiving. So I'm going to go up and wrap my hands around the neck of this thing that is choking the church and saying, can't you see? It's not on God's end. It's on your end. It's on my end. I have to become available. But we have so many people who don't even understand their own salvation yet, their own spiritual milk. And maybe it's like the phone call we got the other day. Maybe they need to stop milk. Moved to something else. You know, 50 years of Sunday school ought to produce something in a person. Dadgum, how many lessons can you hear in a lifetime? Before you go and start to reflect it. But without absent the power of God in the church, that's exactly what we do. We march around a maypole. We repeat ourselves over and over and over again. And frankly, some of the first people, the people hearing it for the first time, that's why we do it. But not so that people can remain the same for the rest of their lives. It's more than a ticket to heaven. It's for heaven to come to earth. Jesus Christ invaded enemy territory when He came into this world. The night He was born was an invasion. The hosts of heaven appeared in the skies. The Spirit of God born baby came out of the womb into the world. And the fire of God was on Him. Because He was God. And He liberated anybody who would follow Him. Now, with the passage of time and the way the church filters things, you know, you've been set free. You've been liberated. But we allow each other to go through life with these imaginary chains, the bonds, you know. It's like, oh, don't call me to come too fast, preacher. I've got this 50-pound weight I've been toting around. What weight? What weight? Jesus said, if you come to me bringing your burdens, you can put it on my shoulders and together we'll see what happens. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. We like to just keep it the way it is in the world. Jesus told us if we love Him, we would obey His commands in verses 15 through 16. If we loved Him, we would obey His commands, the things He commands us to do. And He would send us the Holy Spirit to be with us forever. Forever. And then in the Acts 2 passage of verse 17, we learn that at Pentecost, the Lord poured out His Spirit on the church. And now it's a supernatural institution. How often are our gatherings reflective of the supernaturalness of what we are supposed to be doing? And how are we limited? The church is living far beneath keeping Jesus' commands. And remember, He said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. 50 years of Sunday school is a long time. The Christian is made for more. You became a new person when you received Christ as your Savior. You might have prayed the prayer 100 times like most of us. you know, you just keep striking that match. I know when I was a teenager, that's all I did was repent and strike the match, you know, hoping somehow it would take. It never really seemed to take. I didn't get it, though. It was a free offer of salvation in Christ. It's open and available to anybody who received it, but I wouldn't receive it. I would pray and ask for it and then walk away from it. No telling how many times that gift wrap package was left laying in the middle of the road where I just turned around and walked off. And just like when I finally began to understand that I received the free gift of salvation, it comes alive in me. And we all sit here today, you know, spirit born, spirit indwelled, because of that salvation we've embraced. And the Holy Spirit is within us. And you became a new person. You became alive to a purpose. And it didn't involve remaining in bondage to sin or the past. When you placed your faith in Christ, until that moment, you were dead on arrival. You were dead in sin. You were dead in trespass. There was no remedy you could find on your own, and you were destined to hell in the end. Eternal damnation. And many Christians continue to live like that's the end result for them, because they've just not received. It's living like the world. And so what we have is a church that allows people to come in, and hopefully we allow everybody, I mean everybody, to come in the hope and belief that what they encounter will transform them. That they will not be like the world anymore. But sadly, looking around the landscape in the church religiously, they look more like political outposts of this camp or that camp, instead of outposts of the kingdom of God. It's a world where this president is associated with Jesus and this president is associated with hell. And all rulers, Jesus said, rule by God's permission. When you're out there living like the world, not only is the church limping, the church in you is dying. You're living like the only thing you have is hell on earth. Oh, yeah, that and some fuzzy hope of, you know, someday when you die, you're going to have wings and live on a cloud in some fuzzy, ethereal heaven place where you didn't even want to be with God, but you're going to live there with Him forever. Preacher, I hear what you're trying to do. You do this all the time. If Preacher Chris had anything to do with it, it would be a bunch of Pentecostals. We'd be twirling around and dancing, jibber-jabbering like lunatics. That's what he wants. Well, I'm about to give you the real answer for the first time in a long time. I've heard that for 30 years. Here's the real answer. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you know the answer to your question. Holy rollers. Jibber-jabber. Dismissing. Because the flesh is hardly a proper house for the Holy Spirit. The people react poorly and respond in immature and nasty ways to the presence of the Spirit. It's like saying, let's throw the baby out with the bathwater. I've known people, it's not about your personality type or whether you're an exuberant person. I personally enjoy a good run up the sideline while somebody runs for a touchdown. Others prefer to sit silently and celebrate inwardly some way. It's not about your personality type at all. Rather, it's a command to be filled with the Spirit as a promise to all believers, not based on personality type. Those who are living in the fullness of the Spirit will experience the truth of Jesus' words He said in John 14, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." What are Jesus' commands? Do you even know? His first command, if we take Scripture and align it with Scripture, his first command is that we stay in love. Stay in love with God. And stay in love with each other. We don't allow divisions that come up and manifest in the world to manifest in the church. This is not the place to tout political parties or strengths or weaknesses or ideologies. I'm sick of it. Don't talk about presidents in this church. They are subservient to the kingdom of God. Their purpose is under the kingdom of God. It's not a political choice or a party. I can't help it if you don't think the independents are the greatest party on the earth. But you have a right to your political beliefs. Stay in love with God. Stay rabidly in love with each other. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. As one of the first priorities, obey his commands by staying in love. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. And so to do that, you have to revisit your salvation. Here's where you are. What you couldn't know before you were saved, you knew once you were. But to know it, you had to be there. You had to receive. You can pray till you're blue in the face. You can come to this altar and camp out. We'll come hose you off with water every once in a while. And you can stay here for weeks. But you will not be baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit until you receive him. You have to receive. And then, you know what? Grow fruit. You want power. You say, "I want to pray with people to heal. I want to pray to evangelize or prophesy." Let's try growing fruit first, okay? Because the peaceable fruit of God growing, manifesting in your life is going to temper those gifts with maturity. What the church does manifest now on television many times is a poor, immature version. A non-full or mature understanding. Let us all grow up into Christ through the fruit bearing in our lives. The person who's guided and filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't engage in gossip or useless arguments. And they aren't afraid to confront evil. Because here's the thing. Jesus came into this world to advance the kingdom of God against darkness. To set the prisoners free. And while the doors are open to anybody and anyone, we have to refuse to allow each other to stay cemented in place where we came in. But to continue to urge one another to grow and be healed and advance in the kingdom of God. Now, what does it mean, this last part? If you're going to obey his commands, you ask anything in accordance with his name. You begin to understand prayer. The Lord is ready to answer our prayers. Jesus said, "You'll do more and greater things than I have done because the Holy Spirit will come to you." The truth is, it's a greater thing for someone who is not the Son of God to manifest faith for things on the earth than it was for Jesus to do it. It gives God greater glory. And yet at the same time, praying in accordance with his name. I've wanted a lot of people to continue to live. But you know, it was God's will that their time on earth was done. And no amount of praying, no amount of begging and pleading was going to change God's outcome. Think of the purpose God gives us in seeking for and knowing and understanding, get a grip on His will for something. Praying in Jesus' names means that Jesus can put His stamp on it. You pray, you don't pray like wild people pray. You pray with a purpose because you have spirit insight and divine guidance. And you pray in accordance with God's will. I don't just pray all the time for God to stop the rain or send the rain and stuff, but sometimes I really do. I just want to be sure Jesus can put His stamp on it before I say, in Your name. My heart comes into alignment with God. My heaven has begun on earth. I live into that. One day my eyes shut in death. They open the next second in heaven. And the kingdom of God is advancing. That's what it means. And then the other commandment Jesus gave, we sort of pass off. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Make disciples. Baptize. And I'll be with you always. Advance the kingdom of God by making disciples. By teaching. There's your Sunday school. There's your small group. Church, you say, well, why are you so irritated? Well, I am irritated, but only with myself. I want to see the fullness of the kingdom manifested in Walnut Grove. Because until we isolate and further refine the purpose for Walnut Grove's existence, we don't have a purpose. You know, when there's six flavors of the same flavor, six locations selling one flavor in a 10-mile radius, that's kind of redundant. What is it that God wants Walnut Grove to do? I think it might be different than anything we've thought of so far, wouldn't you? Let's just take a minute and allow God to speak to us. And I would just ask the question to the Lord. I've known for a long time I was made for more. And I'm not sure I can dance up and jibber-jabber. But if You set me to dancing, I'm more than willing to do it. And if you'd like for me to come and pray with you, just come to the altar. Or if you have reasons to come on your own, come ahead and we'll finish after that.